What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Elon's Matchup Maximizer, a podcast where I, Elon Dubrovsky, take a look at next week's NHL schedule to try to figure out who are the teams we should be targeting in our head-to-head matchups in order to maximize the number of games played we're going to get. Of course, hopefully from players who will also actually do something and provide us some value in our leagues. It's been a crazy week. I'm recording this Sunday afternoon. Hopefully everyone had a fun holiday. It's been this weird Monday, Tuesday, and then Saturday, Sunday week. Myself, I'm in a matchup that's very close. At one point, it looked like I was running away with it, and then my team, they actually did fine. It's more Team Stoof's team just like went off yesterday, so I'm going to be having an exciting afternoon, as I'm sure a bunch of us will, with this small sample size of games determining this week of hockey. Next week, a little bit more normal. I'm going to get to that in a sec, but also we've got a bit of a weird schedule this week for Keeping Carlson. Brian is traveling today, and then we have a special podcast, an annual tradition with our friends from Fantasy Hockey Life, where Brian, myself, and then Victor and Jesse from Fantasy Hockey Life, we're going to be doing a draft, and that show we're going to be doing tomorrow. It's our annual, we each get one player per team for a points-only draft. But the wrinkle is we could only take players who are 70% rostered or lower on Fantrax. So all the obvious guys won't be available to us. So that's always a fun one. We're going to be recording that tomorrow, which means no mega show today or kind of tomorrow. Though, of course, we'll be talking about players as we go through this draft. So I was thinking before we get into next week's schedule for Matchup Maximizer, I'll just take a look at the headlines, just the important things I want to make sure we're all up to speed on from this short week of NHL action. So I've got a few headlines that I'm going to throw at you. No super deep analysis, but just things that are going on that have caught my eye. And then after that, I'll get into next week's NHL schedule. So, okay, I'm just going to be jumping around the league a little bit here. Yesterday, the Toronto Maple Leafs had a game where they defeated the Ottawa Senators. It was a crazy game. It ended up being 7-5. A lot of back and forth. Some news out of Toronto, though. William Nylander was hurt, though apparently he's still going to be traveling with the team, so he may miss a game or two. But it looks like we've avoided a long-term injury. So, of course, that's good to hear. A lower body injury. Craig Berube said we'll see how he is tomorrow. The Leafs also, I should mention, were running an interesting power play set. I think this was discussed on the Lewis and Elizabeth short shifts back on Tuesday before Christmas. But yeah, it's been Matthew Nyes off the top power play and Matias Michelli there instead. So definitely a huge upgrade for Michelli, who had himself two assists yesterday against Ottawa, one of them on the power play. He also scored a goal the game before against Pittsburgh, not on the power play. Michelli at even strength playing on a line with Nylander and Tavares, at least for some of last game. Looks like the lines were shaking up a little bit. So obviously you'll want to check GameDayTweets.com or wherever you get your lines, but you should be checking GameDayTweets.com to make sure this holds. But that could be an interesting guy to take a look at, Michelli, if this deployment is going to hold. Though, let's be real, like probably it won't, right? Nice to see Austin Matthews finally get a breakout and have a good game. It had been a four-game pointless streak for him, but Matthews, yeah, broke out with a goal and what was it, two assists. So that's nice to see. Probably even more important is the nine shots on goal that Matthews took. That's the guy that we drafted in our fantasy league. So that's what's going on over in Toronto right now. Another big game yesterday came from the LA Kings, who totally demolished the Anaheim Ducks. What's going on with Anaheim? What's going on with Lukas Dostal? Like, all of a sudden, this team that was looking so hot to start the year, we're not seeing all those goals. We're not seeing all the firepower. So I was hoping maybe like after the break, they'd come out strong against the Kings. But no, a flat outing for the Ducks and a big game for Alex Laferriere, who had himself a hat trick from his line with Kempe and Kopitar on the top line. Of course, I do have to mention, since I'm a selfish person, I have Adrian Kempe. So I was a little bit disappointed to see a sole assist for Kempe, even though Laferriere had that hattie. Meanwhile, the other line mate on that line, Anze Kopitar, who's on my opponent's team, Kopitar did great. Three assists. Every single time Laferriere scored, Kopitar was there. I guess Kempe was just letting other people take care of it. So fine. I guess the team won 5-1, was it 6-1? So I guess I can't. It was 6-1. So I guess I can't blame Kempe for whatever he was doing. Also, Quinton Byfield had himself a bit of a bounce back game, goal and an assist after he'd been quiet for so long. I will admit I've dropped Byfield. I'm not going to fully regret it yet after one good game. I feel like this always happens. You drop someone and they have that I'm going to hope it's a dead cat bounce just so that I'm not going to regret this forever. But we'll see now how LA does against a team that's maybe doing a little better than Anaheim lately. But nice to see that from a bunch of their guys. But yeah, specifically Alex Laferriere. Like, look, next week, and I'm going to get into it, but LA basically only has one light day game. But if Laferriere is out there, you may want to just take a look. I'm seeing a lot of tweets saying that this was like his best game. He looked so great. He had 5 shots. He also had 9 shots the game before Laferriere. So he's starting to pick it up. He's on the top line. The power plays currently are this weird split power play situation, which means Laferriere, whether he's on the first or second, doesn't really matter. He's getting pretty much the same power play time as everybody else. So I think this is a guy to take a look at. He wasn't doing much before these last couple of games, but that's what we were looking out for, a potential guy in free agency who maybe is going to go off. I'll also mention on LA that Anton Forsberg has done a really good job with Kemper on the shelf. Forsberg, of course, got that win yesterday against Anaheim, stopping 24 of 25. He took a loss to Columbus before the break, but that was still only 3 goals against on 30 shots. Had a win before that against Tampa Bay, letting in only 1 goal on 32 shots. So overall, it's been a decent run for Forsberg with Kemper out. Apparently, Kemper is close to returning. He won't return tomorrow, it looks like, but maybe later next week. So you'll probably thank Anton Forsberg for his service and then move on beyond maybe a final Monday stream there, though that would be against Colorado. So a bit of a scary team to go up against. So that's LA. I wanted to still jump around a little bit more. How about quickly in New York? Looks like Adam Fox was back at practice today. So Scott Morrow may be off the top power play soon. Not that he was doing too much. So definitely watch out for that. I don't really have much more to say aside from you're excited if you're a Adam Fox manager. But then sticking in New York, how about the Islanders? They got a big return. Bo Horvat returned for their game yesterday where they shut out the New York Rangers. Horvat, no points in that game, but he did have 4 shots, which is pretty good. And he was +1, 3 blocks, a hit. So I think we're all just happy. And like, if you have Horvat, you know that the points are going to come soon. The Islanders are looking really good right now. They're in a playoff spot. Another guy on the team, by the way, that's been doing well. I'll mention. So Horvat was playing with Drouin and Emil Heinemann, and then Barzal with Leon Holmstrom. So Horvat and Barzal split gives opportunities to lots of other players to play with these stars. Simon Holmstrom, I wanted to mention, he's now riding a point streak of 8 points in his last 8 games. He had a goal yesterday against the Rangers. So in a deeper league, maybe you're taking a look at a Simon Holmstrom. There's also been this injury to Ilya Sorokin, which is apparently super short term, but was a big gift. Anyone who grabbed David Riddick is very happy because he played on Tuesday, had only 1 goal against on 32 shots against New Jersey, then got the shutout yesterday, 27 save shutout against the Rangers. And it looks like Riddick is playing again today. So you're getting 3 games out of a goalie stream. We'll see how Riddick does today against the Blue Jackets. That's happening at 5 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. right now, so I don't have any Sunday games to report to you. Speaking of goalies on Edmonton, Connor Ingram got his 3rd start in a row yesterday. Didn't go as well, unfortunately, as the previous couple starts. He finally took a loss to Calgary, stopped 29 of 32, which is still an above 900 save percentage. Not good enough for the win, though, unfortunately. Come on, Oilers. I think 3 goals against, that should be enough for a team with McDavid and Draisaitl to generally pull off the W. But yeah, before that, a good game for Ingram against Calgary before the break, where he led only 1 goal, and then a good game against Vegas in the win there. So we'll see now what the Oilers do. I don't know if we have an update on Tristan Jarry. I can just check to see the latest on game day tweets from Tristan Jarry here, but looks like he'll be a few weeks, and that was on December 21st. That was a week ago. So a few weeks minus 1 week. In the meantime, it seems like maybe Ingram is the starter. I guess after a loss, I wouldn't be surprised if they go back to Pickard. But if I was the coach, I'd just ride Connor Ingram. He seems to be doing well. As long as it's not a back-to-back, why not just kind of let him get comfortable? It's been a while since he's been in the league, so he probably needs to get on a bit of a roll. So that's my amateur take, but that's what's going on over in the Edmonton net. So maybe take a look if he's available. Grab Connor Ingram at least until Jarry is back. Maybe we've got a short-term starting goalie. In Columbus, Zach Werenski is hurt. Apparently, he could be back soon. So sucks for people who lost him this week if that like cost them the loss. He's been moved to IR, but apparently he could be removed at any time. So hopefully you'll get Werenski back soon. Worth noting that Denton Mateychuk has been manning the top power play for Columbus, with Werenski out, and he had a power play assist on the game before the break against LA. We'll see how he does today, but this is obviously a very high pedigree guy. He was drafted 12th overall 3 years back. So with the opportunity, I'm interested to see if Matejczuk, you know, maybe it's only a game or two, but show that he has the potential to be potentially a guy you want to always jump to grab anytime Werenski misses time, which unfortunately is, you know, usually a few times every season. Obviously, last year was a special case, and hopefully, moving forward, Werenski will be healthy for the rest of this year. I don't want to jinx anything or say anything bad. He's doing awesome. Also on Columbus, by the way, Mason Marchment continues to, you know, I think, did we talk about it on the last show? I guess the trade had happened. I don't know if we'd seen any games yet, but Marchment playing with Marchenko and Fantilli, so amazing deployment. Scored a goal versus Anaheim, two goals against LA on four shots, both power play goals, by the way. So I should also mention, yeah, that was from the second power play. I don't know how sustainable. But look, Marchman, if he's out there for you and you can fit him into some games, and we'll get into the schedule for next week, maybe you can't. He's definitely good for a Sunday savior today if you have him, and then it'll be an interesting decision. But I think a guy playing with Marchenko and scoring some goals, definitely someone of interest that you're not necessarily rushing to get off of your roster. Let's go back to some injuries over in St. Louis. The Blues are starting to finally get a little healthy. Jordan Kyrou and Jimmy Snuggerud both returned for the game yesterday against Nashville, and the game went well. The team won 3-2. No points for Kyrou, but he did take four shots, very similar to the Bo Horvat stat line. Snuggerud also no points, but also no shots. So less interesting, though. He was on the top power play for what it's worth. They were rolling with Kyrou, Buchnevich, Thomas, Snuggerud, and Justin Falk on PP1 right now. They're not doing the two power play thing they're used to doing, an actual top power play. We'll see how long that lasts. And yeah, so I know Jonathan Berggren, who had been recalled or claimed and then called up to play for the Blues, was doing okay, but now it looks like he's going to be pushed down the lineup off the top power play. So if you jumped on Berggren, I think you could safely move on at this point. Also in net, Joel Hofer continues to do really well. I think that he's becoming a guy that the Blues are realizing is their better goalie, at least for now. He's won four in a row, or four of his last five games, I should say. And yeah, they seem to be alternating lately, but I wonder if next week, you know, after the holiday, maybe the Blues start leaning a little bit more on Hofer. We're up to now a 900 save percentage, so he's cracked that. We'll see how much higher he can get as the weeks continue. Looks like Tampa Bay is going to be getting Brandon Hagel back today, so that's just another outry I can let you know. I'm not sure. Tampa's like changing things up. They have people coming in, people coming out all the time. So that's just an update. They don't have much more to say about that. Actually, another outry is over in Seattle. Vince Dunn and Jared McCann both expected to play today for the Kraken in their game, so you'll already know the result of that. I'm curious where McCann slots in terms of like how that's going to affect guys like Jordan Eberle, who's been insanely hot, Chandler Stephenson, both guys I mentioned on last week's matchup maximizer is like pretty slam dunk guys you should add. Unfortunately, my opponent for this week, Team Stufa, added Eberle and has benefited from two goals against Anaheim and a goal against LA. I'm hoping he'll maybe be quiet today. Stephenson now 10 points in his last 10 games after an assist versus LA right before the break. So yeah, we'll see. Maybe we're starting to get some actual sustainable production out of these Seattle guys, and we'll see if Jared McCann upsets that or just joins in on the fun, or maybe neither. Maybe Jared McCann will just do nothing and it'll continue to be the Eberle and Stephenson show. How about a quick line combination that I found interesting? The Sharks, I know they changed a lot, so you don't want to lean too much into this, but Igor Chernyshov was playing on the top line with Celebrini and Eklund yesterday in the win against Vancouver. Colin Graf, it's like those are the two guys that have kind of jumped out lately as the exciting Sharks that may be still available to you. Colin Graf was on the second line with Toffoli and Wennberg, and both of them like looking really good. Chernyshov had himself a power play goal and an assist, up to now 5 points in five games during his tenure. Not on the top power play, Chernyshov, but you love getting that exposure to Celebrini on the top line. I don't have to get into Celebrini's stats. Of course, they've been incredible lately. And then, yeah, Graf also continues to produce. He's got 8 points in those last six games, scored yesterday. That's his fourth game in a row with a goal. So Graf, it doesn't seem sustainable. He had a goal on two shots versus Vancouver, a goal on one shot the game before versus Vegas, a goal on two shots the game before versus Seattle. So sure, like I would say, like this is a classic sell high. It's probably not going to last. I mean, it's definitely not going to last, but I don't know like how high you can really sell Colin Graf. So it's probably more just like ride it while you can, but it's nice to see like pretty high ice time for him. Like he had almost 18 minutes yesterday. Chernyshov is lower ice time, but of course on the top line, I might even lean Chernyshov. I think both of them are looking pretty good right now. So fun options over in San Jose. Can't say the same about the team that they beat yesterday, the Canucks. Oh boy, this not looking so good right now. Brock Besser was just dropped in like a couple divisions. Like, wow, Besser's in free agency. That's nuts, until I took a look and realized, yeah, that tracks, because he has no points in his last four games, only one assist in his last 12 games. It's kind of like the stat line that I was seeing from Quinton Byfield when I dropped him, and we saw what happened. So maybe it would be smart for someone to grab Besser before his next game, since the manager that dropped him is, you know, in line for the pain that you get. But I think long term, maybe this is a situation where it makes sense that Besser is a potential drop. The lines were all over the place versus San Jose. At some point, he was playing with DeBrusque and Rossi, but it looks like they were trying different things. At the end of the day, like, Besser's still on the top power play. You'd think if the team gets going, he'll be part of it. So I don't want to say necessarily whether you should follow suit and drop Brock Besser, but definitely an interesting development as a guy who seemed like a sure thing full season hold. Maybe not so much. I'll throw a couple more of hot streaks at you of just random names that I wouldn't mention otherwise. There's a guy on Dallas named Justin Hrykowian. I guess, Hrykowian. He's been playing on a line with Duchesne and Jamie Benn, and he's got a 5-game point streak. Is this sustainable? Probably not. Who is this person? I don't know. Doesn't look like he was drafted. He's been around for most of the season and hasn't done anything, so this is probably a hot streak that you can ignore, but maybe keep a look. It's not a bad pair of line mates, right? I'm sure Benn and Duchesne are like held in a lot of leagues, though maybe not. If anything, maybe this is actually bad news for a Jamie Benn, who at one point was getting exposure to either the Rantanen line or the Robertson line. Lately, it's been Sam Steele centering Johnston and Rantanen. Steele actually has 3 points in his last four games. I was like, how could you not? Rantanen's been insane lately. So yeah, anyways, that's what's going on in Dallas. I just wanted to mention this hot streak from Justin Hrykowian. How about even more names that are almost for sure available to you in free agency? Over in Colorado, like, they're spreading the wealth, right? There's a lot of points to go around. Somehow Devontaeves, like I mentioned before, avoids the points, but some other defensemen have been getting in on them lately. Sam Girard and Sam Malinsky, the two Sams, both having some fun. Girard now has 4 points in his last three games, and you could even go back further and count like 8 points in his last seven games. So that's really coming out of nowhere, considering Girard was doing nothing for a lot of the season after coming back from his injury. Probably also nothing to expect to continue. Also, my guy Sam Malinsky, who I keep bringing up every once in a while, he had 3 assists yesterday against Vegas. Before that, he was cold. Before that, he was hot. But I don't know. I just think that he's a solid stream when you need defense. So I've got to mention my Sams on Colorado whenever I get the chance. Some more defense doing things we don't expect to continue over in Buffalo. So Rasmus Dahlin missed the last game. He was still traveling back from Sweden in the meantime. Bowen Byram continued his hot streak with one assist versus Boston. He had 2 goals and an assist the game before versus Ottawa before the break, and an assist versus New Jersey. So a sweet little 5 points in 3 games for Bowen Byram this week, if you happen to have him. Obviously not something I'd expect to continue. Also, our friend Matthias Samuelsson, his D partner, went off again, a goal and 2 assists in the game versus Boston to go along with 6 hits and 2 blocks for Samuelsson. This guy, like, he gives you the periffs, and then every once in a while, as we saw earlier this year, can go on a bit of a run. He also had an assist the game before versus Ottawa. The points, you don't expect it to continue too much, though, if he's playing like 25, 26 minutes like he has the last few games. You know, it's easier to get a point here and there. So definitely, you know, more interesting in a peripheral league. But I think for a stream, sometimes like a Samuelsson type could be pretty good. Buffalo's been doing really well lately. I don't know if you've noticed. I think we mentioned it recently. Their goalies are doing well. They keep winning games. So that's going to lead to some defensemen getting points, including Matthias Samuelsson. And yeah, Alex Lyon, UPL, both continuing to rack up the wins. It was UPL yesterday for the win against Boston. Okay, that'll do it for this segment of Matchup Maximizer, just catching up on some headlines since we're not going to have a mega show today. So when I come back from the break, we'll get into next week's schedule. See you soon. The holidays are heating up on Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Make your NBA picks for a shot to win big cash prizes this holiday season. Here's how it works. Just pick more or less on two or more player stats. The more accurate your picks, the bigger the payout. It's the kind of upside you'll only find on Pick 6, not those other pick'em sites, and it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits with code THPN. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Okay, time for our standard matchup maximizer fair. I am looking at the schedule for the week of December 29th to January 4th. We've got games every day. How about that? It's a weird schedule, though. It's not the typical days you'd expect to be busy. We've got Monday, Wednesday being medium days, 22 teams playing Monday, 20 teams playing Wednesday, and then Saturday is a standard busy day. So your Monday, Wednesday, Saturday are the days where you're maybe not going to fit someone in. And then Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday are relatively light. 10 teams on Tuesday, 16 Thursday, 8 teams Friday, and 10 teams Sunday. So you're definitely going to want to set your roster. Don't just get fooled by someone seeing that they play Monday, Wednesday, Friday and thinking you're going to get their guys in. Actually, I've looked at my couple team. I'm full for forwards on Monday and Wednesday. So that definitely has made it tricky for me to stream. But there are a few teams that have what look like a bad schedule, but actually is a good schedule because this week we want a Tuesday, Thursday. And we've got five teams that go Tuesday, Thursday and give you some off-day action, including, of course, the Carolina Hurricanes, who play five times. Another five-gamer, just like the Rangers a couple weeks ago. So we got, of course, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday for the Carolina Hurricanes. Who do you want to target on this squad? The Canes are coming off a win against the Detroit Red Wings, where they won 5-2. They've been without Seth Jarvis, who's going to be out long-term. So the lines they've been running are Aho with Svechnikov and Stankoven, and then Ehlers, Jackson Blake, and Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Welcome back to the top six to Kotkaniemi. I can't imagine anyone has him in any fantasy league. And I don't think I'm going to be recommending him. Of course, we also know that Rod Brind'Amour likes to change up those lines. And even in this good deployment, he has not done much of anything to be expected. Okay, but the guy that I think you definitely want to take a look at here is actually Jackson Blake, who has been on the second line, but also on the top power play with Ehlers, Aho, Svechnikov, and of course, Shane Gostisbehere, who had a really good game yesterday, also on my opponent's team, unfortunately for me, but fortunately to anyone who has Gostisbehere. So yeah, Jackson Blake getting solid deployment and doing pretty well with it. He had a goal yesterday against Detroit, up to now 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 6 games, also 4 shots yesterday. So I think if Blake is available to you in free agency, only 11% rostered on Yahoo, obviously a lot higher in Kakupful. So take a look. If you can get him, I think you want to have Jackson Blake. Logan Stankoven isn't doing anything, but you're going to be interested in someone playing with Svechnikov and Aho if it lasts, which who knows if it will. So that's a guy you can take a shot on. There are some, like the thing is with this schedule is assuming that Monday and Saturday, you're full. You're really streaming a guy who has 3 off-day games, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. There's going to be a bunch of teams I'm going to mention with 3 off-day games. So Carolina may not be like the for sure. I think if anything, it's like if you have an open D spot, you know, you generally roster 3D in a league that has 4D spots, then maybe this is a great week to grab a Sean Walker. Like Keandre Miller might be back from his injury. You could stash him and add someone else and then bring in Miller whenever he returns. You know, that might be more of a move you want to make versus trying to get one of those forwards. Like definitely Jackson Blake. That's going to be a streamer of the week, no doubt about it. Probably even a hold while he's on this top power play, which could last for a while Jarvis is out. I should mention, since I'm also doing kind of a general update on the league, Andrei Svechnikov is super red hot right now, had a goal and 2 assists in that win against Detroit, extending his point streak to 5 games, with 3 of them being multi-point games, the other ones with scoring a goal. So definitely it's wild to think how low Svechnikov was early in the year. Like he's already up to now 27 points in 37 games. So I guess still a bit away from like an awesome looking season, but over the last little while, Svechnikov has definitely made up for the rough early start, except for, of course, for the people who didn't have him or dropped him, right? Or traded him for nothing and then are like, oh, kicking themselves right now for sure, as I definitely would be. Okay, so yeah, that's the Carolina Hurricanes and our best streamers over there. Who did I end up with? Jackson Blake, right, and then like maybe Stankoven. Or you can always go for like an Eric Robinson. Like he's sometimes doing stuff, but you know with Carolina, they're going to change around the lines a lot. So they're not really my favorite team beyond those couple guys I mentioned, Blake and then a defenseman. Next up, though, you maybe want to take a look at the Montreal Canadiens. So they play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, which generally is a pretty mess schedule. But for this week, Tuesday, Thursday, especially if you're like me and you're full Monday, Wednesday, then a Tuesday, Thursday sounds pretty good. Then you can decide whether to hold through the busy Saturday to get the Sunday game against Dallas. Tuesday's against Florida. Thursday's against Carolina. We'll see if those... They may be low-scoring games. They may be a tough team to score against. All these games on the road, by the way, for the Habs. So I guess our main guys that you're not going to get are like Caulfield, Hudson, Suzuki, Dobson, Slafkovsky, Demidov. Maybe Matheson is out there, though he had a couple of really nothing games, but he's been better lately. He had an assist against Pittsburgh and then no points, but 3 shots and 7 blocks versus Boston before the break. We'll see what happens today at Tampa Bay. Long road trip for the Habs that they're in the middle of right now. Some guys that might be available to you that you'll want to take a look at. You're going to want to look at anyone playing with Caulfield and Suzuki. And lately that's been Zach Bolduc again, who's also been on the top power play. So it kind of seems like a no-brainer to me with a good schedule. He hasn't been incredibly hot, but he did score in that last game versus Boston. Before that, he was pointless for a couple games and had a 2-goal game against Chicago. So not a sure thing, but I think with this deployment and this schedule, like why not grab Zach Bolduc if you can get him? Beyond Bolduc, maybe the next guy who I find a bit interesting is Oliver Kapanen, who I think we've mentioned a few times on the podcast. He's been like, what is it? This can't be real. This can't be something. But like, look, Kapanen is playing at even strength, centering Slafkovsky and Demidov, both guys who are definitely rostered for you. He had a huge game against Pittsburgh where he had a goal and assist and 7 shots. Nothing against Boston aside from a couple of shots. We'll see what happens today against Tampa. But he's getting second power play. He's getting the same deployment as Demidov. So if you like Demidov, you're having a guy who's with Demidov at even strength and on the power play. So I added him, so that's why maybe I'm a little bit excited. I would have taken Bolduc if he was available to me, but he was not. So I ended up with Kapanen. I think beyond, like, that's basically our top six, right? There's Suzuki, Caulfield, Bolduc, and then Demidov, Slafkovsky, Kapanen. And then it's like, then we're getting to the bottom six. Then we're not that interested. Then, yeah, like I said, you can get a defenseman like Matheson. But yeah, that's pretty much it for Montreal. Bolduc or Kapanen. And you could take a shot on Phil Deneau in his new... He's only played one game with the team and he didn't do too much, but he also only played like 15 and a half minutes, maybe getting eased in. But I wouldn't expect too much unless there's a line shakeup, of course. So that's Montreal. We can look at the Florida Panthers next. They play Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. So it's... Monday's busy, but you know, there's only 22 teams playing Monday. So it's possible you can fit that game and then you can fit 4 games avoiding the busy Saturday. And that might make them one of the top teams to stream from. Also, Florida's got some fun options right now. Mackie Samuskevich is back from his lower body injury, had an assist in the 4-2 loss to Tampa yesterday. Also took a couple shots. Samuskevich is having a decent season. Like before he got hurt, he had 3 points in 5 games. Like, I don't know, 5 points in 7 games. Depends how you want to, you know, add it up here, but doing fine. I think deployment depends on a lot of this stuff. And I saw the lines were shaking up a little bit, but I am seeing that Samuskevich was getting top power play with Bennett, Reinhardt, Marchand, Seth Jones. So this is someone that could definitely be interesting, especially only 5% rostered. I know he's available in a lot of couple divisions. So I think Samuskevich, much like Oliver Kapanen, like I'm just, you know, he's doing fine production-wise, getting good deployment. We'll see with the even strength lines, like how they shake out. We'd love if he could be with a Sam Reinhardt. Another name that is maybe available to you, Eetu Luostarinen, has like been getting really great deployment, playing with Sam Reinhardt, generally at even strength, even getting some second power play time. Luostarinen had a goal, 5 shots and 6 hits yesterday against Tampa, 2 assists the game before. So Eetu's always seems to be involved a lot. You know, he'll go cold for a little bit, but I think in a 4-game week, if you can fit all 4 games or even 3 of them, you're going to get a couple points there, I think, from Luostarinen. Trev, you can mark that down as a prediction. You're guaranteed at least 2 points or, I don't know, yell at me, I guess. So yeah, those are two names that jump out to me. I mean, it depends how deep your league is. Like Anton Lundell is 48% rostered. So in your shallow leagues, I like Lundell. He's like been a little bit cold lately. Only 1 point in his last 4 games. Before that, he had a 3-game goal streak. So I could definitely see him going off again for a little bit. But yeah, I think those are the main names. I guess Evan Rodriguez is always a name on Florida, and he's been like hot and cold. Like he had one assist against Tampa, didn't do anything the couple games before that, but the game before that had two assists and six shots. So Evan Rodriguez always like a threat to do something. But I think I'm mostly interested in Sam Moskevich and then Luis Tuurainen as potential streamers over on the Florida Panthers. And there's always the defense. Aside from Seth Jones, it seems like I always have someone like an Ekblad available or a Gustav Forsling. So if you can just fit those four games, that I'm not going to give you the 2 point guarantee, but maybe 1 point and some peripherals. So that's not that bad, right? Okay. Chicago Blackhawks also have the same schedule as the Habs, the Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Chicago is obviously a little bit more toothless without Bedard or Frank Nazar in the lineup. But there's still some names. Like that does mean that there's different people getting some somewhat interesting deployment. You've had Tyler Bertuzzi with Jason Dickinson and Landon Slaggart. I know Dickinson scored a goal yesterday. And then Burakovsky with Tara Vinen and Donato. Yeah, so who to reckon? I mean, yeah, so top power. Here, let's just get someone on the top power play, right? It's been Tara Vinen, Burakovsky, Bertuzzi, Donato, and Levshinov. So if any of them are out there, you know, top power play is generally a place where you can get some points. I don't love Tara Vinen, I'll be honest. He'd be the one I'm least interested in. So Donato also seems to just not be him anymore compared to what he was last year, though he has been getting a lot of ice time in these last few games with these injuries. And he did have a goal versus Philly and assist versus Ottawa. Nothing yesterday against Dallas. So yeah, my order would be Bertuzzi number one, then Burakovsky. Then honestly, give me Levshinov as my third option, then Donato, then Tara Vinen. And then you can go for a Landon Slaggart and then a Jason Dickinson. There's my full Chicago ranking. Let me know if I missed someone. Slaggart had an assist yesterday for what it's worth. Okay, so Nick Lardis. I'm saying Landon Slaggart because he's playing with Bertuzzi. He's probably not going to stay in the lineup. Okay, Nick Lardis is the actual like interesting prospect that I know some people like, but he hasn't done much. So kind of probably you can forget about him. Okay, so that's Chicago. And then we're pretty much out of teams here. We just have one more team with one of these decent schedules. And that's the Pittsburgh Penguins going Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. A lot of teams just doing the Monday, Wednesday thing. And then like one game on either the Thursday or the Friday. And then maybe you can get a Sunday and get a couple of off day games. But yeah, we could end, like I said, over in Pittsburgh. And I think that with Pittsburgh, we kind of know the situation at this point. If you can't get Crosby, Rask, or Raquel, or like Erik Karlsson, I guess you're not really like having a great chance of pointing. Anthony Mantha did score against Toronto in the last game. I can give you the latest lines. This was a loss to Toronto. Maybe they're going to shift things around. They're actually also playing today, the Penguins. Ooh, let me see if we have an updated Penguins lines for today. The last we have is December 27th. So from yesterday. So Raquel, Crosby, Rust. Yeah, that's the thing. When they put those guys together, it's a Novak, Mantha, Brazeau, and it goes from there. Mantha was the one on the top power play with their three-star forwards in Karlsson. So I think that would be my clear, like get him for the Sunday Savior today if you can, and then for the good schedule next week. Ben Kindle, like who knows if he'll get back up there. Justin Brazeau would probably be my next couple options. But I think after Mantha, you're pretty much just taking a shot in the dark there. Even like a Chris Letang, who does have assists in the last couple games. I guess it's a good week to get Letang if you'll fit all four games, which I assume you will. Like if you can fit the Saturday also, then that makes him somewhat appealing, though far from a sure thing like he used to be. But yeah, those are the Penguins. I think Mantha is a name that definitely should be interesting. I'd like him better if they split up that top line and Mantha could be playing with a... Well, Crosby would be ideal, but Crosby on the power play, not too bad. All right, so that takes us through the league and our best schedules for next week. I guess I'll mention, like, just for fun, like the teams that have a really bad schedule, the teams that only play on the busy days, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, that's Boston, Buffalo, Calgary, and San Jose. So I know I mentioned before the Colin Grass and the Chernyshov being kind of interesting. Maybe for next week you want to hold off if you're going to add Chernyshov just to not get any games at all. So you'll have to check your rosters. I recently dropped Matt Coronato, even though I like him, but he's been kind of cold. And also Calgary, again, has that schedule of the Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. So I don't know. I've seen some Buffalo names that I haven't seen in free agency for a while drop to my couple division, like Josh Doan and Zach Benson. So it makes sense. So maybe you want to check. I do have Pavel Zacha as maybe one of my bottom of the roster guys beyond, you know, like Oliver Kapanen, who I have just for the good schedule. So I could see myself, if I need to make a stream, streaming out Zacha. I do like him on the top power play in Boston, but he's fine. Like, he hasn't been incredible. It's been terrible. I do wonder if Boston's going to shake up the lines at some point after that loss to Buffalo. Would love if Zacha could center David Pastrnak. Today, the lines for Boston, pretty wild. I don't know how much to read into it, but their practice lines had Pasternak with Minton and Kuznetdinov, and then Zacha with Mittelstadt, Arvidsson, and then Lindholm with Geeky and Steves. So spreading like three lines, I guess. And so that's not ideal, but I wonder if they're willing to do that, then maybe they could also try Zacha with Pasternak. And that wouldn't be too bad. So I'm curious to see how this will develop in Boston, but there's going to be a couple days where Zacha could potentially even just be on my bench. So I won't have to worry about him in the short term. But okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And like I said, we'll be back tomorrow with this fun crossover episode with Fantasy Hockey Life, where we'll be drafting one player per team, where we'll talk about a bunch of these guys and more. So make sure you subscribe to Keeping Carlson. And then we'll be back with short shifts and all. You know, the holidays are over. Happy New Year, of course. And then we're back to our regularly scheduled programming up until the Olympics of just hockey all the time, podcasts all the time. So just make sure you subscribe to get everything. Good luck tonight to me and to all of you. Hopefully we could all win our Week 12 matchups and go into the new year with smiles on our faces. And if not, we'll, you know, make the most of it. Okay, see ya!